God, we commit the message to you tonight. Lord, use it in our hearts. Fill me with your Spirit. See, it means completely control me with your Holy Spirit. May we learn more about you and draw a bit closer to you, maybe a whole lot closer to you. Lord, we got a busy week, but help us, Lord, not to focus on that right now, but as Lord, help us to focus on your word and what you have for us. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday morning, in light of Father's Day, we started talking about our Heavenly Father. Remember the story about the little boy that was on the floor in the living room, and he was just very intent, and he had all of his crayons, a 64 count of crayons, Crayola crayons, and he had a big pad of paper, and he was just working so diligently, and it really perplexed Dad, who was in the recliner relaxing a bit. And he said, "Son, what are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm coloring a picture, painting a picture of God." And the dad said, "Well, you know, nobody knows what God looks like, so how are you going to do that?" And he said, "Well, they will after I'm done." So we are looking at Psalm 99. If you have your Bibles and want to turn there, one of the big things in the Christian life, one of our goals should be to get to know God better and to understand Him better. You know, we fully get, I believe, that our brain cannot fully comprehend God in our humanness right now. But as we live our life for Christ, as we study His Word, as we serve Him, we should get a bigger, fuller picture of God all the time. And we've colored in a few things about our Heavenly Father already in part one. But we're going to review that in a moment and then cover some new ground tonight about our Heavenly Father. You see, it's important that we get to know Him better. And Psalm 99 is a marvelous psalm. I mean, it's just like, wow, that's good stuff. Because it describes our Heavenly Father. Psalm 99, beginning at verse 1, it says, "The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. The earth is great in Zion, and He is high above all the people. Let them praise Thy name and let them praise Thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at His footstool, for He is holy. Moses and Aaron among His priests, and Samuel among them that call upon His name, they called upon the Lord, and guess what? He answered them." The guess what's not in there. I threw that in there first. I added the scripture, preacher. You better watch it. "He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. They kept His testimonies and the ordinance that He gave them. Thou answerest them, O Lord our God. Thou wast a God that forgavest them, though Thou tookest vengeance of their inventions. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy." Now, what we've already looked at so far, I'll review that fairly quickly. But point number one, under our Heavenly Father is in control. Is in control. Notice in verse 1, it says, "The Lord reigneth." The Lord reigneth. Look at verse 4, it says, "The king's strength." You know, I am thankful that our God is in control. If a man was in control, I'd be very nervous. And you should be very nervous too. If a God less than our God were in control, we should be nervous and very nervous. But our God, the God of the Bible, the great and all-powerful God, the all-knowing, ever-present, never-changing God, is in control. And even though a lot of times we don't get it, I mean, I'm with you on that. We don't understand why things happen the way they do. We don't understand why God allows this or that, but we don't have to understand it. And a lot of people say, and I was kind of on this bandwagon, we'll understand that someday. Really, I don't think it'll mount the hill of beans after we're in heaven. I mean, what does it matter anymore? We might get clued in. God might say, "Well, this is the reason, and this is the reason." Perfect. But, you know, it's going to be so good in heaven. I think we're like, wow, I don't need to know why that happened. I'm here. It's great. It's wonderful. God, you're in control. So our Heavenly Father is in control. Great news. And say, our God does not have to be this kind of God. I mean, he's God. And if he's in control, even the other things that we describe, he could have been a wimpy God. He could have been an evil God. He could have been a vengeful God. He could have been, you know, just put in the word. It could have been an evil God. All of those things. But our God is a good God, and he's in control. The second quality we looked at was present. Our Heavenly Father is present. It says in verse 1, he sitteth between the cherubims. And then it goes on to say in verse 7, he spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. Now, this is a reference to the Ark of the Covenant, you know, where the presence of God was in the tabernacle that wandered with them, and also in the temple. And the cherubims was on the Ark of the Covenant, and then the mercy seat was between. It represented the presence of God. God was present with them. And then it says, you know, the cloudy pillar. Remember when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt? They were led at during the day by what? A cloud. And then at night they were led by a fire. And that was the presence of God. And you know, God is everywhere present today. You know, I am thankful that he is not a God. This is one of the points in my BBS lesson tomorrow they wanted me to make. He's not a God that just made the clock and then sold it. You know, made the clock, gave it away, and is no longer present. He's a God that not only wound the clock, he's there watching the clock, and he's watching everything that goes on. So our God is a present God. And I told you my sister was told to go on the back porch to get a broom one dark night, and she kind of hesitated, and mom said, well, go out and get that broom, Terry. He says, well, I'm nervous. I'm scared about it. And mom said, well, the Lord is always with you. And my sister had a good response. I wouldn't be this quick. She said, well, then why not let him get the broom? And you know, the presence of God is real, but I don't think he'll get the broom for you, okay? The third quality that we've already looked at, he is great. He is great. Verse 2, it says, the Lord is great in Zion, a reference to Jerusalem. The Lord is great in Zion. Verse 3, let them praise thy great and terrible name. In other words, the name has had a lot to do with who he was. When you say it in the Bible, and in Bible times, a name meant something, you know. Now it sounds like to me that some of these names you read is like, how in the world did you come up with that name? And how in the world did you come up with that spelling? You know, it's almost like they went in the kitchen, got a bunch of pans and dropped them, and whatever sounds it made, we're going to name Joey that, you know, or Junior that. And it's like, whoa, 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 where did that come from? But names meant something, and it's talking about the quality of God. So they're going to praise thy great and terrible name, thy powerful name. The Lord is great in Zion. And I made the statement that if a animated character named Tony the Tiger can stand up and talk about Frosted Flakes, Kellogg's Frosted Flakes as being great, we surely can recognize that our God is a great God. Incomparable. There's nothing to compare to our God. And then the last one we looked at last week, and then we'll move to new stuff. Fourthly, he's high above man. High above man. And verse 2. It says, it just says it. It just spells it out. You don't have to be a theologian to figure this one out. Look at verse 2. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. He is high above all the people. To hear a lot of people talk, you'd think that they were God. You hear people talk, and I got all the answers, and I'm the greatest athlete that ever lived. Let me tell you, God is high above man. And then we looked at Isaiah 55, and I have the verse in there tonight, Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. It says, for my thoughts, this is God talking, are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, and that just makes me happy to know that God's ways are higher than man. And man, you know, I'll be honest with you, preacher, you're supposed to have all the answers. How come this tragedy happened? How come this happened? How come this? I'm like, I don't really know, but God does. Again, it's part of God being higher than man, high above man. We may not see it, but God does. And let me tell you another thing, being high above man, he coordinates our lives. You know, sometimes things happen and you say, well, how in the world did that ever happen? How did you ever run into that person? How did you ever? God is in control. And believe me, God is a multitasker. God can handle all things at once. And it's amazing what he can do in our lives, and he is working in our lives. The new stuff that we're talking about tonight, number five, under our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father is just. Just. Verse 4, it talks about the king's strength also loveth. Loveth what? What's that word? Judgment. Loveth judgment. Also in verse 4, thou executeth judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Verse 8, notice what it says. Thou answerest them, O Lord our God. Thou wast the God that forgavest them, though thou tookest what? Vengeance of their inventions. You know, I'm thankful that our God is just. I mean, our God has got it all under control. Everything as a judge that he does is good, right? Everything is, I don't want to take away anything from the points coming up because they kind of tie in together a little bit. But everything he does is good and fair and equitable, and he is the perfect judge. You know, and sometimes we got to take a little bit of comfort in that. You know, maybe you've been in this situation that people have wrongly accused you or said things about you, and there's really not a whole lot you can do. You know, you're like, okay, other than pray. So you can pray, and that's a big thing. But, you know, when these things come up and people, you kind of like, I've encouraged myself by knowing, you know what? God knows exactly what the score is. And you know what? God knows exactly what was said, and God knows exactly what the truth is. And it all goes back. It's because God is just. And someday, we're going to be judged by this just God at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, again, I want to make this abundantly clear. Otherwise, it sounds like we're saying you're saved by works, which is nothing could be further from the truth. You're not saved by works. The Bible's very clear about that. But when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, if you're at the judgment seat of Christ, just give everybody a high five because you made it. You're going to heaven. That means you're saved because you're at the judgment seat of Christ. But I really believe that he'll be asking us some very good questions. Like, how come you let this slip in above me? How come you didn't do what I asked you to do? How come? And it's all based upon our service. But you know what? Everything he says, everything he does, and whether we get crowns or don't get crowns, we have no argument because our God is a just God. He is a just God. You know, I don't watch these kind of shows on purpose because I don't need to be drugged down, but maybe you're one of these judge show advocates. You just watch all these judge shows perhaps. You know, I know there's Judge Judy, there was Judge Jeanine, there was Judge, you know, all these different judges. But let me tell you, you might like those judges and they might seem to be pretty fair. There is none of them that are as just as our Heavenly Father. And I'm thankful for that. I can rest upon that. So our Heavenly Father, tonight we talked about just. He is just. The next quality of God, which would be the sixth quality, again, it's somewhat related to that, but our God is equitable. Equitable. We're not talking about the gas company. Our God is equitable. You say, what in the world does that mean? That means fair. That means an evenness. That means right. And again, what we just talked about, it's kind of linked in with that. He is just. Notice what it says in verse 4. It says, the king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity. Equity. You know, God, the Bible says in Acts 10:34, I want to share this verse in Acts 10:34 and try to explain a little bit. It said, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Now, what is he talking about? He's talking about the mission to the Gentiles, right? And like, okay, he's now made no difference between the Jews and the Gentiles. The Jews are still God's chosen people. God still has a special plan for them. But salvation was opened up to the Gentiles. And he makes this statement that he is no respecter of persons. So you know what? You're as valuable to God as any person. You know what I mean? I mean, that's good. Because I'm not as smart as a lot of people. But God says, hey, I love you anyway. I'm not as athletic as some people. Well, that's all right. I love you anyway. I know this is going to hurt. Some of you are going to disagree, but I'm not as good as looking as a lot of people. But guess what? God loves me anyway. God is equitable. He's not a respecter of persons. You know, like, you know, we think sometimes like, wow, that's a U.S. senator. Or wow, that's an ambassador to Ireland. Or wow, that's a, you like the way I threw that reference to Ireland in there because we're Vacation Bible School. Or wow, there's the president. You know, we are to show these people respect, but God doesn't love these people any more than us. You know, and Billy Graham and people that have been great and great preachers through the years, your Billy Sundays, your Billy Grahams, your Charles Stanleys, and all. I mean, praise the Lord for people that preach the word of truth. But guess what? They're no bigger. They're no big shots. If God is no respecter of person, he loves you just as much as he loves them. Your mission may not be like his mission. Just do what you're called to do, right? Run the race. I heard that this morning. Run the race that is set before us. Run the race that God has for you. But aren't you thankful that there's no big shots or little shots in the eyes of God? He loves every one of us. I mean, you know, when I see someone that's down and out, I know that when we trust the Lord, we become the child of God. And there is a distinction there because we are now his children. But when you see someone down and out or someone that's just, you know, evil through and through, you know, I sometimes say, you know what? You know, that's wrong. But then I usually chime in and say, but God loves that person as much as he loves all of us. I mean, that's important, right? I'm thankful that God is equitable. Equitable. You see, there were certain things that our boys were not allowed to say, and Ryan can back me up on this. There were certain things that were forbidden in the Delay household. That they could not say, or there would be consequences. They could never say, I'm bored. I mean, that's a favorite expression of a lot of kids today. It seems like, I'm bored. You know, your word is not going to have that. That's just not going to happen, or there are going to be consequences. We would not allow them to say, well, I hate Fred. We don't say that. For the most part, two, you know, they weren't allowed to call anybody names, you know, or put a label on somebody. Like, no, no, no. And this one, they were not allowed to say, that's not fair. I said, for every time you say that, that's 15 minutes of television that you don't get. You know, you have whatever punishment you want, but it seemed to work pretty well in our home. There's certain things you shouldn't say. And, you know, with God, we don't have to say he's not fair. Because he is. He is just. He is equitable. And let me say again, God didn't have to be that kind of God. But we can rejoice and praise him for being that kind of God. Tonight, fifthly, our God is just. Number six, our Heavenly Father is equitable. Number seven is our God is righteous. Righteous. Now, I understand that some of these tie in, but that's kind of the beauty as we're coloring in the qualities of our God. Again, as I said last week, not with crayons, but with the Word of God that we have to paint that picture, we're getting a fuller and fuller picture. He is righteous. Notice what it says in verse 4. The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity. Thou executeth judgment and righteousness. Executeth. Everything that he does, everything he puts into motion is out of judgment and out of righteousness. He's just and he is righteous in Jacob, in specifically the context of Israel. But God is the same God and he is a God that is righteous. Righteous. You say, what exactly does that mean? I would put it this way. He is right. He is good. He is right. And he is good. Actually, there is no badness in him. There is no darkness in him. There is nothing that you could point your finger at and say, well, God, now granted, kind of full loop here. There's things that happen that we don't understand. But we got to be careful in blaming God for that. You know, God is not intimidated with our questions. I've heard people say this, and it's wrong. I believe it's fully wrong. I've been doing this for a while, and I think it's totally, totally, absolutely, 100% wrong. Well, you can't question God. I think you can question God, but in the right attitude. You don't go shaking your fist at God and say, God, I understand why you... And that's a little bit dangerous. I'd stand back from that one if you're a Christian. But to simply say to God, God, I don't get it. I don't understand. I've done that before. Have you? I don't understand why. God is not intimidated with our questions. I mean, he can handle our questions. Again, it's all about the attitude in which we ask the questions and the heart in which we ask the question. But I can assure you that he is always right and he is always good. This one might hit home with some of you. Have you ever argued that you're right? I mean, you've argued with somebody. I am right. That was not last Tuesday. That was two Tuesdays ago. And the doctor didn't say it that way. The doctor said it was optional. You know, things like, and then just to find out that you were wrong. It's like, uh-oh. I'm wrong. Don't you hate? You almost wish that that didn't come out because you've been so dogmatic that you were right. Well, I say that to say this. You don't want to argue with God and say that you're right and he's wrong because God is never wrong. Because he is a righteous God. And I'm thankful for that. It's important, and I'm thankful for the God that we have. Our Heavenly Father, tonight we've covered, our Heavenly Father is just. Our Heavenly Father is equitable and fair. Our God is righteous. And tonight, probably the last one tonight, our God is a prayer answerer. I'm not really sure if there's a word answerer or not, but I enjoy creating words every once in a while. And I just put that down. That's the way I phrased it. God is a prayer. Our Heavenly Father is a prayer answerer. Okay? Now look at verse 6. Where does it say it in this chapter? Again, this chapter is rich. I mean, this chapter is like a mine. We're just hauling out all the nuggets of truth. Our God is a prayer answerer. In verse 6, it says, Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name. Now, do you and I call upon his name? Yeah. Does he invite us to come to the throne of grace? Doesn't he? I mean, don't ever think you're bothering God. Well, I don't want to take that to God because that's too small. If it concerns you, it concerns God. God is never too busy. I get so annoyed. Don't you get annoyed when you call and you want to talk to a real person? And they even promise that it's going to be a real person. And yet you still get another recording. And then you get another recording maybe. And then maybe it says, well, no one is available now. Please leave a message after the beep. And it's like, now I'm not talking about individually because we have that sometimes. We can't take every. I'm talking about companies during business hours. Is that a little bit frustrating? But our God invites our prayers, and you never get a machine. You never get a voicemail. You never get, what's the word I'm looking for, a voice recording of any sort. I mean, you're going straight to God. How can we do that? It doesn't have something to do with Jesus dying on the cross and him making a way for us when we trust him as Savior. It done away. Remember what rent into whenever Jesus died upon the cross? The veil that separated where the common person could go and worship and where the high priest could go. So when that happened, guess what? It indicated that we can go straight to the Heavenly Father. And the good news is we got Jesus helping us out as our advocate. We got the Holy Spirit helping us out as an advocate, taking the prayers to the Father too on our behalf. But you don't have to go through anybody. I'm thankful. I wouldn't want to sit in a little booth and say, okay, now tell me everything you've done. I don't need to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't care to hear it. I mean, if you want to come to me and say, preacher, I've done this. I need some help and counsel. I'll be glad to help you. But you know what I'm saying? Well, we don't have to do that. We go straight to the Heavenly Father. You know, whenever we have invitations, you know, I don't want you to think just because I'm here that I'm going to go forward because I got to say something to the preacher. You don't have to say anything to the preacher. When we have an invitation and God's speaking to your heart, just go straight to the altar if you want to. You don't have to talk to me. And isn't that a huge blessing to know that God is right there and He hears us? I don't care if it's one of those quick prayers. Lord, I need your help now. Lord, help. Sometimes we can't even get all the words out. Lord, help. And it's like, okay. And the Lord can hear that. And based upon that, our Heavenly Father, is He a doula? Does He have post-it notes all over heaven? You know, well, I got to answer that prayer sometime, and I got to answer. I mean, our God's got it all in control. He's a multitasker. He knows exactly what's going on. Don't you like that commercial? This has nothing to do with the message. But don't you like that commercial where the squirrel buries all the notes? I think it's a post-it commercial, post-it note commercial. And he's inside his den, I guess that's what you call a home of a squirrel. And he's got all these post-it notes about where he put his nuts, where he buried them. Just let that soak in for a minute. But God doesn't have to put notes all over heaven because He's got it all under control. And let me tell you, it's not like He has to remember something because He's God. And it's not like He has to say, you know, well, I need to answer that prayer. Are you ready for this? Because God answers every prayer immediately. He does. He sometimes answers yes. He sometimes answers no. And He sometimes answers wait. You know, I wouldn't give you a nickel for any parent that always told their kids yes. Oh, Daddy, Daddy, can I go play in the road? Yes. Yeah. Daddy, Daddy, can I have all the ice cream that's in the refrigerator? Yes. I mean, that's kind of bad news, right? I'm thankful that we have a God who is so in control and knows what, but He answers every prayer. When you say that God never answers my prayer, you're on wrong ground theologically. God answers every prayer. But in His godness, another word I created right there, in His godness, in His power, in Him, in His greatness, He just sometimes says, nope. And aren't you thankful that He doesn't answer every prayer that we throw up? Because sometimes it would be a mess. I mean, it would be unfortunate if He said, okay, yes. But as a loving Heavenly Father, as an earthly father would say, no, you can't go play in the road. No, you better not eat all that ice cream. You'll have a bellyache. He sometimes says, no, you don't need that. That'll mess up your life. But aren't you thankful that He is a prayer answerer? It says there, Moses and Aaron, and it says they called upon the Lord and He answered them. It mentions Moses, Aaron, and Samuel. And it says among them that call upon His name, so I think that includes that, they called upon the Lord and He answered them. Verse 8, Thou answered them, answerest them, O Lord our God, speaking to those that were in the desert. As God led them out of Egypt, He answered them. You know, again, God answers every prayer, yes, no, or wait. And one of the most loving and loving things He can do for us is to answer no. Or to answer a God who has everything under control, wait. It's not the right timing. I hope that you praise the Lord for who He is. I hope you thank your Heavenly Father and my Heavenly Father all the time. You know, there's so many times I'm really convinced that we have a list of things that we want from God. And when we go to God, we're asking all these things. We need to pause. Really, we do. And I've tried to do this in my quiet time more and more. I actually heard a message. It was actually the president of Ambassador preached it. I think it was at Southwide. He preached. He's a very good preacher. Alton Beal, the one that's head of the D.C. Gospel Outreach, too, that Ryan's part of. And he's an evangelist. He travels all around the churches, and he's the president of the school. He preached a message on personal worship. Personal worship. And what he was saying was, when you have quiet, you know, corporate worship's great. We're singing. We sang one day, and then we sang just over in the glory land. I've sang it with so many different people in quartets here and there back in my home church and youth group and all that. Brings back a lot of memories. But you know, when we sing to the Lord And when we do things like that, we're praising Him, and we need to be thankful. And Dr. Beal made the point that it's fine to do it in church, but what do you do it in your quiet time? You know, do you pause and just start thanking God for who He is? You know, I don't do it near enough, but sometimes I resolve in my brain, I'm not going to ask for anything. Again, I don't do it enough. But sometimes I just resolve in my brain, I'm not going to ask you for anything, God. I just want to praise you. I just want to thank you. And then I start going through, and boy, I'm amazed. I mean, that's a long list. I mean, you know, I thank you that I was born in West Virginia. Praise the Lord, right? I'm thankful that I was born in America. I'm thankful for the freedoms that we have. I'm thankful that I was saved or brought up, born in a Christian family. My mom was saved, took me to church. I'm thankful that I trust the Lord at 11 years old. I'm thankful that I graduated high school. I'm thankful that the Lord allowed me to go and get my engineering degree. I'm thankful that God called me into ministry. I'm thankful that He allowed me to go to seminary and get my MDiv. I'm thankful that God has called me as pastor to be the pastor of 3 different churches. I'm thankful, you know, just on and on. I'm thankful for Amy. I'm thankful for the boys. I'm thankful for my church folks. You know, it's amazing if you just take the time, and I think God is up there going, that's good. That's good. Because they're recognizing God as for who He truly is. I mean, if every good gift comes from, every good thing you think of comes from God. So let me encourage you. That will be the specific challenge in your quiet time when you pull out your Bible and you read your Bible. If you don't have a time to do that, start doing that. Pull out your Bible, read some scripture on a systematic way, pray to God, and sometimes just thank Him. And just make, I'd say every time you go to the Word of God, just take a moment, if you don't take your whole prayer, and just say, Lord, I praise You for who You are. I praise You for what You've done. I say that quite often. Lord, I don't only praise You for what You've done, I praise You for who You are. And just take a time and brag on God. Believe me, our God is amazing. He's an awesome God. If only our little pea brains could figure that out, you and I'd be a whole lot better off, wouldn't we? But tonight, He is a just God. He is an equitable God. He is a righteous God. And He is a prayer answerer. If you would bow your head and close your eyes. Let me ask you a question as we filled in a little bit more of the picture of who our Heavenly Father is like. Let me ask you, has God challenged your heart, mainly in your quiet time, to brag on God a little bit more? Has God challenged your heart right now and say, you know what? You know, your quiet time's great. You're reading the Bible. You're asking for things. Praise the Lord. But I'm going to pause and just praise the Lord. If God has challenged you in that area tonight, spoken to your heart, would you raise your hand up real high as a testimony to that and say, yep, God spoke to my heart. God bless you. Thank you for those hands. Anyone else? Say, you know, God spoke to my heart about pausing in my prayer and bragging on that God. Amen. Thank you for that hand. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise You for being the Heavenly Father that You are. And Lord, I don't think we can quite say it enough. You did not have to be the God that You are. But Lord, we just praise You for being the God that You are. Lord, may one of our goals in life be to get to know You more and more every day. And Lord, specifically as the challenge went out, based upon the awesome, amazing, fantastic, fabulous, beyond description God that You are, Lord, the challenge was that in our quiet times, we'll just stop and just praise You and worship You for the God that You are. Help us to remember that. And Lord, in our quiet time, just take that time again, to brag on You. Lord, we thank You for Your Bible. What an amazing book. What an amazing, amazing, amazing book. And that word is, again, falls very well short of the truth of what Your word really is. We just praise You and thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want to come to the altar for any reason, if you want to come to the altar and pray for Vacation Bible School and the fireworks, that's great. If you want to come to the altar and pray for a lost neighbor, that is great. I still don't think our altar is as open as it ought to be. I've felt that. I've pastored different churches, and I've had altars that were more open and altars that felt a little bit more closed. I can't explain it. I don't know why, but it seems like our altar sometimes is pretty closed. And I think maybe it could be because we're not listening to God. But there's something fabulous about coming to the altar and humbling yourself before God and say, God, that message spoke to my heart. And it firms it up in your mind. I appreciate you raising your hand. Praise the Lord. If that's it, great. Praise the Lord. But I think it would cement it more in your heart if you would come forward and say, you know what? God spoke to my heart, and God, you helped me. So you just move as God wants you to move. I'm not trying to get people at the altar for no reason. I'm just saying if God is speaking to your heart, why not respond tonight?